Well, good evening, everyone. I had the recording button because I figured maybe there might be some good questions and some answers that we might want to get on recording. Doesn't look like many people are going to show up tonight. We only got a few people in the room. Maybe, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people counting myself. But, and more people coming in. We'll see what happens. But anyway, we'll at least go into a Q&A, so if anybody wants to ask any questions or has a comment, you could just unmute yourself, star 6, and you should be unmuted, and we can talk. Excuse me. As long as this works well, we'll stick with it this way. Otherwise, we'll go into Q&A. So does anybody have a question or a comment? Go right ahead. Just pipe in. Give
Hello?
Us your first name. How you doing? Give us your first name and your state.
Hi, Kelly, and I'm in Ohio.
Kelly from Ohio. How you doing?
Yes. Hi, I'm good, and you?
Good.
Good. I have a few questions, but I'm only going to ask maybe 2 questions. Is that possible?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to get some assistance with a federal habeas corpus. And I'm trying to find out if there is anyone to be able to assist with that.
Well, we were doing habeas corpuses, and we'd like to go back to them, but we need some volunteers to help. So we need somebody who has maybe a paralegal background to assist us. You know, I've laid out the process for a habeas corpus that people need to go through, and I would probably still need to do the mailing, so I'd have to do the printing and the mailing, which I can handle that as long as I can know that I have confidence in someone that puts the paperwork together and I don't have to worry about it, go check it out and then do some repairs to it and so on, because I just don't have the time for that. But what's very interesting is our federal case going in, which hopefully, I don't know how long this is going to take. This case is really, we're working on it, and it's going to be very, very involved. We're suing the judiciary. We're suing the United States Supreme Court. We're suing the Judiciary Committee in both the Senate and the Congress of the United States, and I'm trying to think the Bar Association, and I think we're going to limit ourselves there. There's other people I'd like to sue, but I think we're going to limit ourselves there. Our intention is to be able to get a court of record and to maintain that court of record to get it through, so that's kind of our intention. We have a lot we're going to be putting into the I got some feedback, so please, maybe you can mute your mic as I'm talking. I forget your first name from Ohio. What's your first name again?
Kelly.
Yeah, there's some interference coming. Can you mute or no? Yeah, that's better.
Yes, I'm muted now.
Yeah, mute yourself. Hit star 6, you'll be muted. And then when you want to talk, hit star 6 again. We'll go for your second question. So anyway... I'd like to get back to it. Maybe in a couple of weeks we get this case going and people will get a hold of some people who's maybe got some paralegal background and we could do this. What's very, very interesting, and I'm still doing some research, but I'm just blown away by this, and I don't know why lawyers have never picked up on this. Nobody has ever brought this up. I haven't heard it anywheres. And this is coming in pretty close, tightly. I'm pretty sure that this is the conclusion. But right now I'm sweeping through USC 18, and I am finding all the way through this, this has a special maritime and territorial jurisdiction of the United States, and they define it under subsection 7 of USC Title 18. And this has a couple of places, I think under subsection 5 it defines the United States, and the term United States as used in this title in a territory. You know, we may have to move into, hang on a minute. Let me get back to the dashboard. We are starting to accumulate some people, so we may have to move over into a, what do they call it? Let me do the click down, Q&A. Okay, so Kelly, if you hit start, I'm gonna go to Q&A. Kelly, hit star 6 to get into Q&A, and I think it'll tell you to hit 1 after that or whatever, but just hit that so we can unmute you there. But I think I may have had you unmuted anyway. Let me see if I could find you. Yeah, you're going to have to get into the Q&A. Star 6 to get into the Q&A, and then I will, field your second question. There you go. I see you. So let me unmute you. Okay, you're unmuted. And anybody else who has a question or a comment, star 6 to get into the queue. This is going to be a short meeting tonight. I'm here alone, although I see Brent just came in about 2 minutes ago, so Brent's with me. So if anybody has a question or comment for Brent, I don't think we're going to stay much longer than an hour, but who knows? You know, we'll see where we go. When nobody has any questions, we will close down now. But right now we have one person asking a question, particularly about if we're going to be going back or if we can do or assist with habeas corpuses. And what we're going to do it from the standpoint of the grand jury. But I'll tell you, as I was saying about USC 18, which I will talk in more depth next week, it is law of the sea and not law of the land. And I am blown away to find that out. I also found some very interesting things in USC 26, which I will share next week also with everyone. But generally speaking, in subsection 5 of the United States defined, it says the term United States, as used in this title in a territorial sense, includes all places and waters, continental or insular, subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, except the canal zone. In subsection 7, which is pretty lengthy, I'm going to kind of just put some highlighted points here. It says, subsection 7, special maritime and territorial jurisdiction of the United States defined. The term special maritime and territorial jurisdiction of the United States as used in this title includes, number one, the high seas. Now, it's got a paragraph there. I'm not going to read that right now, but generally, just to get through this quickly, it includes the high seas. It includes, number two, any vessel registered, licensed, or enrolled under the laws of the United States and being on a voyage upon the water. And it gets into the Great Lakes and any other waters. Any land reserved or acquired for the use of the United States. Number four, any island, rock, or key containing deposits of guano, G-U-A-N-O. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I looked that up, and that's, goodness, what was it? What's those birds that fly around the sea? The gull? I forget what it was, but it's dung, okay? A rock full of bird dung, all right? Let's see. Any aircraft belonging in whole or in part of the United States or citizen thereof. Any vehicle used or designed for flight or navigation in space. Any place outside the jurisdiction of any nation. Outside the jurisdiction of any nation, okay? And the United States is a nation. To the extent permitted by international law, any foreign vessel during voyage having a scheduled departure from or arrival in the United States. With respect to offenses committed by or against a national of the United States, as that term is used in Section 101. Now, they need to look that up. I have not looked that up yet. The premises of the United States diplomat, consular, military, or other United States government missions entitles in foreign states. Let's see. And then it goes on, and this is very interesting language. Is this the right one? Nothing in this paragraph shall be deemed to supersede any treaty. Oh, no, it's not there. There is another place where it says that U.S. 18 is not law. And it's very, very interesting. Now, next week, when I have time to really, for the rest of this week, really dive into U.S. 18 and study it a little more, I'm still looking for other jurisdiction potentials. I have not found anything yet. So, it appears at this point, from what I can tell, that U.S. 18 is not the law of the land. Now, look, U.S. 18 is not the law of the land. Inside U.S. 18 has the penal code, by the way. And we already know that the penal code is not constitutional. It's not the law of the land. It cannot be, because we're under common law. There are 54 titles, USC titles. One is reserved, so there's actually 53, I believe. So there's 53 titles. Amongst them is US 18, USC 18, which seems to be, maritime. 26, USC 26, which I'm not going to talk about in specifically too much about, but just generally speaking, inside there is a is also says that USC 26 is not law. And again, I'm going to cover this next week, and this will be in our paperwork. We also read that inside U.S. 26, that it was, oh, goodness, let me see the language. Hang on a second. I want to get this right. If I could find it quick enough, of course. Come on, where is it? Okay. This is very interesting, and I haven't been able to find the dates on this yet, and I'm just looking, so I'm sure I'll find it rather quickly. let's see. Title 18's positive law citation, okay? Positive law means it's law, okay? And it was enacted by Congress. So Title 18 is positive law enacted by Congress, but, again, it's the maritime law. Title U.S. 26, let's see, was enacted into positive law, and then, and that was found, Titles 26, Section 1, A and B, was entitled, enacted in, into positive law. And then, I don't know what date it was reversed, but and then Section 1 was omitted. You can find that in the table. And Section 1 was omitted. So it was enacted and then omitted. Now, you know, we know that they play games with this U.S. 26, and none of it has anything to do with we the people. It's a fraud from beginning to end. But it's very strange, you know, they now can refer to U.S. 26 Section 1 as enacted into positive law. But if you don't go look into the tables, you'll not realize, because they don't record it. I don't believe they record it inside the title itself. I'll have to take a look to see that this was omitted. But it reads within the title, and it is omitted in the tables. Therefore, 26 is not law. And if it were, it would be repugnant to the Constitution anyway. So Title 26 is not enacted. It is not positive law. There are 6,496 pages of gibberish, and I mean gibberish. I've read through pieces of it and been all over Title 26, and I looked into Title 26 many years ago because I had an IRS problem 20 years ago. And a few times since then also, but 20 years ago, 22 years was my first, experience with the IRS. And in those days, I was looking through reading a lot of stuff in this. But anyway, 6,496 page of BS, gibberish. It means nothing. It's absurd. It cannot be comprehended in any way, shape, or form. You just can't comprehend what they got in there. The other interesting thing, of course, is that they create a tax court. There's no such thing as a tax court. We never gave them the authority to create a tax court. And there's a lot more I can say about 26. I'm not going to say anything more tonight, but maybe next week we'll talk a little more. But I need to study 18 more before I can comment much more. But I'll tell you what, Title 18 is not law. It is enacted. It is positive law, but it is the law of the sea, not the law of the land. So that makes a big difference in doing a federal habeas corpus. And that's why I bring all this up, because we may incorporate this language in there. You're not getting due process because you're under a foreign court, and it certainly is not a court of the law of the land. But again, how we would approach this, how we would couch this, that requires study. What's your second question? So if the individual that is incarcerated was brought under Title 18, which is the penal code, okay, it's null and void. It's not the law of the land. They never received due process, and it's repugnant to the Constitution anyway. But anyway, go right ahead if you got anything else. You had a second question?
I'm trying to think of what it was. I just, like, totally went brain dead. Okay, I'm just needing, are there any, like, tips of the habeas on the
list? Are you going to get close to your mic and say it again?
I said, are there templates on
the
website?
Yeah, I'm not getting that. I get the beginning, but then you fall away. You're moving away from your mic, maybe. Get to your mic and talk into your mic. Try it again.
Hello.
Go ahead. Is there what?
I'm the federal habeas corpus. Okay, I'm needing immediate assistance.
You need immediate assistance with a habeas corpus?
Right. Correct.
Well, look at, talk to me in 2 weeks and we'll see where we can go. I cannot put any time into a habeas corpus now. It's a federal habeas corpus, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the charges?
They were theft, unauthorized use of property, and tampering with records.
Okay, and what exactly was the truth of this as a matter? That's their charges. What's your position? What do they mean? What do they mean tampering with records?
On their case, and they didn't have probable cause to bring the case. It was a civil matter, and they converted it and made it criminal. And so my family is incarcerated. My cousins are incarcerated currently, and they are appealing their case, but they are wanting to have the appeal and get out as far as the habeas corpus pending appeal. So we're trying to, help them.
Did they work for the government?
No.
Okay.
No,
right.
They didn't. Yeah. These were their whole case is pertaining to adverse possession. And so that's what their case initially stemmed from.
Possession of what?
Adverse possession of property, of real property.
Okay, so they had real property, and did they own it at some point? Did they own it at the time? I mean, what was the situation with the property?
No, they were in the process of adversely possessing the property, and they filed a quiet title. Just possessory of the properties. It was never stated that they were the owners of the property. They went through an entire trial, and they were found guilty, in which they initially didn't have probable cause. The courts didn't have probable cause to bring the case. They had it in civil court, but like I said, it was converted. They went through trial. None of their constitutional rights were allowed. They just totally stripped them of their rights.
Yeah, they do that all the time. They silence you. They prevent evidence. I'm very familiar with how they work. So,
right,
okay,
well,
look,
they,
what we'll have to do is this. Yeah, what we'll have to do is this. Talk to me in 2 weeks, not next Monday, but the Monday after. We'll see where we're at that point. I am totally, you know, focused in on getting this case together for the, you know, this federal case, and continue researching on particular USC titles, particularly 18 and 26. But I'm kind of breezing through the others. There are 27 of them that are positive law. The rest are not positive law, which means that they have not been enacted, so they're not law at all. They're administrative mm-hmm. processes. I mean, look, mm-hmm. you know, they can create they can't even create an administrative process as far as I'm concerned for U.S. 26, because the whole mm-hmm. thing is all about fraud, fraud. They're defrauding the people and taking their money and incarcerating people right. that don't pay. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll go after them for not filing or something, failing to file, and that's what they'll mm-hmm. say they're putting them in jail for, and usually they do 6 years. That's what seems to be most people I know that have gone through this problem. And it's really a debtor's prison is what it is, and debtor's prison mm-hmm. shouldn't be going through this process. The reason why we're suing the United States Supreme Court is because it's their job to oversee this. They know what's going on, and they should have stopped this a long time ago. They should have stopped this nonsense. All this problems going on in the federal district courts, they have a duty. That's all of that that's going on is subversion against the United States of America. They're aware of it, very much aware of it. All these Supreme Court justices they know more than I know. I'm sure they do. They have a great education. They're highly educated. They're well-read, and they know the law. They've read through the titles. They understand the situation. They understand the game that's going on with a quote-unquote Article I court that doesn't exist. And also with USC 18, Title 18, they know what's going on there. And then I have to say, why that's subversion against the United States of America. Why haven't they did something about it? You know, if I discover subversion against the United States of America, and we have here at National Liberty Alliance have discovered that and have reported it to the courts, and I'm trying to think where we reported this, and probably reported it to the Justice Department. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look. But nevertheless, those people, you know, were subverting, and they were arrested. I mean, I wasn't happy to really do that, but they once they told me what they were doing, and I then became guilty of a crime if I didn't report. And I felt that maybe this is a setup to have me put in jail, so I need to report. I had no choice. So we reported it, and just some months later, these people did go to jail. But as far as subversion that's going on in the courts, every day these people, all these people being incarcerated and put in, you know, incarcerated and fined and going through all these processes and ending up in jail, you know, as they go through these processes, that's subversion when it's not law, and they know it's not law. So we got to do something about that, and we're going to do that with this case. But anyway, okay. Try talking to us in a couple of weeks, and we'll see where it goes.
Okay.
All right. Just for those who have come into the room recently, just to let everybody know, we're not going to be on long today. Only myself and Brent is in here. I don't know if Brent has anything particularly to share. Hey, Brent, feel free to, you know, pipe into any of these questions that come up. If anybody has a question directly for Brent, please, address it to him. But we're going to be here for a while, maybe an hour or so at least. We'll go through some questions. We got two other people in the queue, so we'll take questions. If you got a question or a comment, *6 to get into the queue. So let's go to the next person. It's a 504 number. Can you give us your first name and your state?
It's going to be Noble. It's going to be Richmond, Virginia.
From Virginia. What's your first name?
Noble, N-O-B-L-E.
And Noble. Okay. Go right ahead.
I have a possession charge. I'm waiting on it. It'll probably
possession
be
possession of what?
Marijuana. It'll probably be like sometime in October, November for the Supreme Court. Basically, well, I already know.
So this is a state court now that you're being charged in?
I'm in the city. I'm also out of Richmond, like, but the county is Chesterfield, but they don't have a Supreme. I have to go into the city of Richmond.
How much marijuana did you have?
I had less than, like, a gram, and it wasn't even on me or anything. It was in my vehicle that I was walking up to, and it was in the area for something else at a gas station. And I guess when I didn't spray when I got out, but when I went inside to the convenience store, came back, I see them walking away as I'm walking up. And then as I get to the car and I walk my friend to her side and get on my side, that's when he, you know, and says such and such. And I'm like, no, no, no. I said, I don't contract with you. I said, just go ahead and go about your way. And that's when they tried, that's when they detained me. But anyway, it wasn't, they never found anything
next
on.
Next time, look at those cops don't understand that when you say, you know, you're not contracting with them.
Right.
Next time, what you might want to do is just be polite, see what they want. If they want to search the car, say no. I mean, you know, unless they got reason, they can't search the car.
Yeah,
I guess it escalated into something, or what happened?
No, I didn't escalate. He said he smelled marijuana, so that's what he says was his probable cause, you know. But anyway, getting to the point, because, you know,
look, marijuana, it's ridiculous that people would be arrested for marijuana. Absolutely ridiculous. Maybe if they were, dealing it, that could be a questionable problem, maybe, because, this stuff needs to be legalized, and we do away with all of the crime, all of the dealers, and all of the problems, at least with the marijuana, but all drugs, really, all of this stuff should be legalized. And if you're over a certain age, whether it be 18 or 21, whatever the state decides that might be, you should be able to purchase this stuff and do with it as you please. But we also need to be responsible. We need to be people who, we got to teach our children right from wrong, and in the schools we need to teach them the same thing, get them some morals and some principles, let them know, hey, stay away from drugs, it's no good.
Right.
You know,
right.
you train up a child on how they should walk, and
go,
the Lord
go
says when they're older, they will not depart from it.
Yeah, they won't depart. All right,
So, it's a state charge, not a federal charge, then. What is the penalty there in...
It's basically, I have like 30 days over my head, like for a year or something like that, or whatever.
Really?
What I'm getting, what I'm getting at is, how can I get my remedy for the damages they committed against me, and how do I hold up, make them honor moral turpitude? How do I do that?
Well,
because I already know their bonds amount. I already know the bonds. Like, I have a constitutional lawyer. He's the one that got me, put me on to you, but, like, he's in Houston. Of course, I'm going to reach out to him. He's helped me out with a lot of stuff, and I filed a FOIA and stuff like that. But they bullshitted with me. I do have quite a few offices, but neither here nor there. But what I'm getting at is, like, I already know the bond amount for the judge, the commissioner, the sheriff, the police officer, the county clerk, the treasurer, and whoever else I'm forgetting. But what I'm getting at, what I need to go about to make them honor that? You know what I'm saying? As far as the Cessicade Trust, you know what I'm saying? They really charging a birth certificate. They're not charging the flesh and blood. They're charging them now. A person, place, a thing. I'm a man, not a person. So what is it that you can give me wisdom-wise so that I can get what is it to me?
I can tell you that all the things you're going through is not going to work.
Okay.
Most of these people don't even understand what you're talking about. The judge might understand. Now, what kind of a court is this? A state court? This is a Supreme Court? A state? What court is it?
The Supreme Court is going to be, I guess, it might be state. I don't know. See, it only goes from the judicial circuit in the county.
Well, what's the name of the court that you were brought and arraigned in? What was the name of the court?
Chesterfield.
I'm sorry?
Chesterfield County.
So it was a county court?
Yes.
Okay. What you want to do is go into your constitution in that state and see if the county court is addressed as a court of record. Okay, in New York State, courts of record are, according to the New York State Constitution, are the Supreme Court, it's really the state court, which is called the Supreme Court here in New York, and we have a Supreme Court in every county. Okay, so that's the one place you would go. You know, that's a court of record. Then there is the county court. And now the county court would answer to lesser problems and situations and crimes, but that is also a court of record. If you are in a town court, a village court, or any of those other courts, you know, all those courts are called nisi priya's courts. They have no power or authority to fine or incarcerate, although they do, but they shouldn't be able to. You can there's a few ways you could defeat that. One of the things you want to do in a lower court, but you're in a county court, so you got to first find out if that's a court of record. So you'll find that in your constitution. And if it's not a court of
the Virginia Constitution, I'm just saying go to.
I'm sorry.
You're saying going to the regular Constitution or going to like my state Constitution? What do you mean?
Your state Constitution will tell you whether that's a court of record or not. And if it's not a court of record, okay, the only way you could deal with that is to come in there and you come to appear. Oh goodness, what's it called?
Under arrest, especially
You're making a special appearance.
I mean, under arrest. I'm a non-resident, non-alien, appearing in such and such name or something. I already have
Don't get into all that. I mean,
okay.
I mean, I know a lot of people on the internet are teaching that, and it's correct. I'm not saying what they're teaching is correct. Okay. I mean, it's wrong because
it's
it is
wrong.
Correct.
Right.
But they are correct in what they're saying. But it's not going to do anything for you in the court. It's going to agitate them more.
It is. I got put in contempt for it. So, I mean, but that's another story. But, I mean, I can understand, like, yeah. So,
yeah. Right. You want to back off of that. But here's the thing. If it turns out to be not a court of record in your state, then you come to the court under special appearance to test, just to see what this is about, to see if they have jurisdiction over you. And you can challenge jurisdiction if there's not a court of record, and you can also challenge their subject matter jurisdiction.
Yeah, right. They don't have subject matter, but they're saying with the marijuana, they have it, but they don't.
Well, okay. Well, you want to test those things. And the other thing you do is if they don't release you, then you move it into federal court for cause, for violating your right of due process. But you could probably do that even if it is a county court. I mean, even if it is a court of record, you can probably move it over because they're not acting as a court of record. A court of record, especially anything that would bring criminal charges against you, would not be statutory. Okay? So there can be no statute, really, that would violate your right to be able to be free to do what you want, you know? I mean, but we have to be responsible, and we have to understand... We doing this around children, in my opinion, would be, this kind of stuff could be a problem. And that maybe is, goodness, what did they call it when I was a kid? It was very popular. Corrupting the morals of a minor was a crime.
And in common law,
I think you can utilize that, too. So those are the type of things that you'd want to be a problem with. Find out if it's court of record, and then you go for that.
They don't even have a warrant, so they couldn't, like, I know it says, and I think it's one of the codes or statute, however that goes, I think it's in 802.1, and then, like, that's, I'm going to say, like, verse 16, I don't know how to really, what's the actual word to say. Anyways, and it says marijuana sativa L is illegal in Virginia. It goes into all things. It goes in all statistics on oils, which is on your person. But you know, it's an indica and a sativa. Man, they didn't have a warrant, so they could never take it to whatever the process you go through, have to test it to see which one it is, because it's like they violated several of my rights. You know what I mean? Like,
Let me ask you a question. When they claimed that they smelled it, okay, they claimed they smelled it. Did they claim they smelled it because it was potent? Or was because they said that someone was smoking it potentially in the car? Or did they define that at all?
They didn't define that at all. I know that her window was her windows weren't cracked. But it was in a 2006 Ford van or whatever, but she had the back windows, I guess.
Well, it could have been ginseng. You know, I think, ginseng, doesn't that smell like marijuana?
Yeah, I mean,
I remember trying to use ginseng to help me quit cigarettes. It didn't work out too well. But I remember being in the bar rolling these ginseng cigarettes and smoking them, and everybody thought I was smoking pot. And I'm going back 30 years, I mean, maybe even longer.
Nah,
40
it's years, really, it really stinks. It really stinks. It smells like skunky, like depending on which
it
doesn't smell like
ginseng. Good stuff, huh?
So yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm trying to get like multiple like avenues on like where I can get like basically, is there any way that I would be able to get any type of remedy or anything? Is that not in the horizon?
Well,
I mean,
look at you should be able to move this into federal court for cause because again they're violating your right of due process.
Yeah, because that's the whole reason why the servant has a bond and they have the oath to the Constitution. They have a bond for when they fuck up that you can come and sue them.
Well, you could do this, but you have to know how to do that also.
I know.
You're representing
I know.
Yourself, right?
Yes, I'm pro se.
All right. So you need to move it into federal court for cause.
Okay.
You know what? I am disturbed by this though a little bit. I'll tell you why. Because there's some good U.S. 18 codes you can use.
I want to find a family that's in Richmond, like somebody that can help me build, and I can, because I want to be able to help be an asset to be able to teach what I've learned. To, you know what I'm saying? But I need a strong backbone, something I can lean on. I'm here in Richmond all alone. Like I said, my constitutional lawyer, he's in Houston, and I just started learning this stuff the last year or so. So,
To move it into federal court, you can potentially use USC 42. That's where I would go. Now, I haven't studied that yet, but that's another one I want to study to see if it's been enacted, and I'm sure 42 has been enacted, but I'd like to see their jurisdiction.
I would hope
it would be focusing in on really, you know, government agencies and so on.
Okay.
But bear in mind, U.S. 42, let me think about this now. When you go in for cause, you have to really be very careful to make sure you focus in on cause. You can use U.S. 42 potentially. And I'll tell you what, if you talk to me about this next week, I'll give you more knowledge on this because I got to study U.S. 42.
Yeah, I already know. I need to study too.
Okay, so... But definitely, you know, you've got due process, okay? So you got the Fifth Amendment.
Okay.
And right, that is your key. But they will tell you, I know when I filed federal case like this recently, and I went in there, and it was in the Southern District. The Northern District, I didn't have this problem, but the Southern District pushed it. They said, look, you got to put a U.S. code in there. And he says, I see what you're doing, you know. And he gave me the codes. I already knew. I said, it's already in there. But they wanted to see it up on the top front, right? But you got to be careful because once you use certain codes, let's say you use U.S. 18, okay? Well, you have to really be careful because then you're in a different, you're a maritime jurisdiction. And that's
I know the sea, so it's like I'm coming. You're telling me I'm stepping into the water when I do that?
That's it. And that's why you don't want to use USAT.
Wow, because I'm not going to say a level playing ground, but it's like, the weights, I guess, and I'm going to have to know what I'm really doing because they're like a wave and maybe to come over me, is what you're saying metaphorically?
Right. Well, remember, when you go into the federal court, okay, you have a good chance. You have a good chance of the judge being on your side in a certain manner, in the sense that he doesn't want to be bothered with this kind of case. And that's number one. Although there is federal law in U.S. 18 concerning marijuana that it's against the law, but again, U.S. 18, you don't want to even touch or talk. And if anybody brought that into your case, you would want to make the declaration or the point that, hey, you know, that's maritime law. And I will give I'll be talking about that next week, and I'll give details, and maybe even I'll have some stuff written up that I can share, but we'll see. But U.S. 42... I need to study and see the jurisdiction, what the jurisdiction of 42 is. I don't know what that is
yet. And you said that you looked at my Virginia Constitution, and you said What was it that I'm looking for again? I never heard. What am I looking for?
Yeah, you want to go to U.S. You want to go to your constitution for your state. You're looking for what's called a court of record. They should define what a court of record.
What a record is. Okay.
Right. And let me see if there's another name they may use for that. Common law court they can use, I guess, but I've never seen that.
Common law court? Okay.
Yeah, courts of record should be the words that they're probably using. And they should define what courts in your state are courts of record. And if the county is not listed as a court of record, it's a nisi prius court, slam dunk move into the federal courts and have it thrown out.
Okay. So how would I, because I'm looking up tonight, once I do that, and it's Tuesday and after holiday, once I find that out, how am I going, because am I still waiting on the appeal? Because July 15th was the appeal day, so we stay sometime October.
Okay,
like,
so you've been found,
as
far as they're concerned, you've been found guilty.
Right.
You're appealing.
Okay.
And what are you, and you're facing 1 year in jail?
Yeah, not 1 year. I'm facing, it's 30 days over my head for a year. It's my first offense.
So you're facing 30 days in jail?
First 30 days over my head for a whole year, as long as I keep good and keep the peace. You know that little disclaimer that they always
but
say
then,
when you...
But
you
then
know.
You'll be a criminal to some degree. Is this a felony?
Right. I still have a misdemeanor.
it's a misdemeanor?
Yeah.
Okay. With misdemeanors, I don't think that affects you in any... I think, maybe Brent can pipe in on this one. I don't think misdemeanors affect you to be able to get a weapon, you know...
They don't.
So you're kind of lucky there. So your worst case scenario is 30 days. You're going to appeal it. I don't know what's in your appeal. What's your position in your appeal that you're appealing? You know, what's your position?
I don't even know. I just put me off the spot because I got my basement got flooded a couple weeks ago. We had a lot of storms. It's like, oh man, I'm trying to remember exactly what I said. Read it to you. I don't have them have to go through some paperwork.
Go very carefully through your case, okay? And think about what your position would be. Remember, you can't bring in any new evidence. The case has been tried. You can only deal with what's inside the case. And I know when I make a case, I make sure I have everything I need for an appeal. I know exactly where we're going to go if I have to go for an appeal. Now, I generally don't do appeals, but we're going to be doing appeals now with two of these cases we got going. Actually, three cases got going doing an appeal because we've been thrown out two of the cases that we're throwing out on under Rule 12, which is failing to state a claim, which is not true. And I know we'll win those appeals. Unless the appellate judges are crooked. On the other side, there's a third case we're going to put in, and if they try to play that game, we might go through an appeal. But the third case is going to be very unique, an extraordinary case that, they wouldn't... The other thing, what you want to do is this. Why don't you go up and read the cases that we have filed and see how we couch everything. And, we get better and better, of course, as you write more and more cases, you get better at writing, better, able to defend, make your defenses or your offense and so on and so forth. But that may help you to write a better case for yourself. They didn't have a really good reason to search your vehicle.
No, they didn't. And what I wrote up was pretty good. I actually ran it by the major girl that introduced me to my constitutional lawyer. I wasn't able to get with him, and she said that it looked good. She asked me. She said one amendment. She said that I should have added in there, but I had already had sent it, and she was loving that it was good. So I don't know. I felt like it was pretty good. I made sure that because it has to be. It can't be like, it has to be facts. Like, it can't be like, oh, no, I have to remind them, like, no, you've been unconstitutional, and this is, these are the amendments. Like, they didn't honor my right to subrogation. She said she didn't know what that meant. And so I didn't have a Black Law Dictionary at the time, so that sort of stumped me a little bit. It was like I was just putting this. There was many things and things that I put in there that they, if they deny my appeal, oh, they didn't really mess up. I don't think they're going to deny it.
Well, so you gave you put in a letter for an appeal. You know,
yeah,
your paper.
I did it within
30
days.
You gave your notice. It's called a notice of appeal. You've done that.
Yeah, notice of appeal.
And how many days do you have to perfect your appeal? You know, here in New York, we have 8 months.
What do you mean to perfect it? What do you mean?
Well, get your paper in. How long did they give you to file your papers?
Oh, they only give you three. They only give you 30 days.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
really,
I only had a couple weeks to do that. But I did.
If they're giving you 30 days, that makes me really wonder whether that county court is a court of record. And if it's not a court of record, if it does not say in your constitution that it's a court of record, and they don't tell you that it's a court of record, and the fact that they use statutes against you makes it not a court of record, that gives you the ability to move it to federal court for cause.
Okay. They only give me 30 days. I had to rush and do that. But it was good, though. But still, you said 8 months. What?
Yeah, New York State did 8 months. Yeah. Federal courts, I think, give you 90 days, and even that's ridiculous. I got some papers here I got to go through to see how many days.
Yeah, they only give me 30 days here. Like, I was just like, I got to hurry up.
Well, look, I think you have a good opportunity to be able to move this into federal court for cause. And you know what? Even if it is a court of record, you know what? A court of record was not opened. If it's a criminal case, if they're calling a criminal case, it must be a court of record, okay, which means you have to have a trial by jury, even though you may have had a trial. Did you have a trial by jury?
That's what I'm doing. That's one of the things that I said in my a notice of appeal.
Asked for a trial by jury, and they didn't give you a trial by jury.
Not yet. They didn't give it to me. I'm still waiting on. They're saying it's taking 90. It has 30 days to appeal. Then they take 90 days to send it to the Supreme. You get what I'm saying here? That's like that.
They give you 30 days to write your notice of appeal.
Appeal, right.
Then they give you more time to write the appeal. How much time do they give you to write the appeal? See, that might be 90 days or more.
Thirty days
doesn't sound right.
Well, maybe I might be getting my facts wrong, but when the county clerks, they always told me, say, you have 30 days from when it goes from judicial to circuit. The lady, she's told me twice. Two different occasions, she said, you only have 30 days. I said, that's all I had. She was like, yeah, you only have 30 days. And then when I went up there before the 30 days, and I said, so how long are y'all going to take this to a Supreme? And I called like 2 weeks later. And she was like, oh, it's going to take 90 days for us to send them. They're sending me my notice. I don't know. If you're telling me I need to file an actual final appeal, I need to get on that. I haven't done that, but that's not what they're telling me. They're telling me what that gave them is substantial enough, and they're going to send that in 90 days.
Well, look, you should be able to move this into federal court for cause. You'll have to look up into U.S. 42. It sounds like you might know what I'm talking about there.
I wouldn't
U.S. 18, but talk to me next week about 42 because I will be looking into it.
Okay.
Is this
the only time that I would be able to talk to you is on here?
Yeah, I'm here for 3 hours. 3 hours every Monday. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very
I know
hard
busy.
To get a hold of me during the week. Very.
Yeah, I can believe it. Yeah, you called me when I joined a couple of weeks ago, and I had missed your phone call, so that's one of the reasons why. It's okay though. I understand. Trust me, I get it.
Yeah, I get so tied up. I just have to ignore my phone.
I can believe it. You're like a walking dictionary, a walking encyclopedia of knowledge from me, of course. Of course.
All right. Well, anyway, what you need to do is I'm sure you could move this into federal court for cause under U.S. 42, And again, I will give you, you're moving it for a violation of due process. And if you could write it up just constitutionally for due process, you're much better off. But I'll give you the insider report next week. And the reason why you could move it there for cause is because you were not in a court of record. You did not receive a trial by jury. And there's no such thing as summary judgment. Was there a jury? And how many people were on the jury?
Oh, no. They haven't. They're telling me when I was in my notice of appeal, I said I do not waive my rights to a jury. They haven't answered me back yet. They haven't even sentenced me.
Yeah, but you were tried, and you were tried.
Oh, when I was tried in the circuit, there was no jury. There was just a
judge.
And
the judge
did
summary judgment on you. Well, right there, that's unlawful. If you asked for a jury and they refused and they convicted you, you definitely should win on appeal. You go that process. But keep in your back pocket that you want to move this into federal court for cause. Maybe you can win on the appeal. You should win on the appeal on that one. But again, you need to look into your state constitution. See what's going on. You know?
Yeah, you put me on a lot of information just now. I'm okay.
Well, you know, this is recorded. It's only a Q&A tonight.
I'm recording it now myself, too. I'm going to go back to the records.
Yeah, it'll be put up probably tomorrow. Jan or someone will put it up, and it'll be available.
I'm just glad to know I got a chance,
It'll be dated for today, and it'll just say Q&A. So.
All right.
Talk to me next week about 42, but do some studying, your best look at it. Study our papers, because you can use stuff in our papers. There's so much meat in our papers you can take, and you can start cutting and pasting things, and consider using footnotes, you know. See how we use the footnotes, and that's where the real education is, you know. You read it through, and... you could read it straight through without looking at footnotes, and then come back and read it again and look at the footnotes to get really a better understanding of what's being said in these papers. But we have memorandums. We can use our, you know, cut and paste out of our memorandums. We got a lot of good stuff up there. You know?
Okay. I appreciate that, Lawrence.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call.
All right, Brian. You have a pleasant week, sir.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Let's see, we don't have anyone else in the queue. If someone has a question, we'll stick around a little longer. It's going to be a short night tonight. I'm just fielding some questions. So, Brent, do you have anything to share with
us?
Okay,
yes,
let me
John.
Take the...
John,
yeah, do you have
got another question.
To share?
Oh, if need be, but I can listen to another questioner, isn't there? That you've only got about 12 minutes, but if you want me to say something, I will. In the meantime, I'll leave it up to you.
All right. Well, we have a caller, so we'll take the caller from Florida.
Okay.
So let's do that. Hang on a minute. You're unmuted from Florida. What's your first name?
I am Orange, and I'm in Florida. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi, Brent. I got to read you the, like, three lines, which were omitted from the city ordinance in the respect of quasi-judicial proceedings. In other words, those lines are not anymore over there. They were, like, amended. They threw them away. I am reading this now. Neither the federal rules of evidence nor the Florida evidence code shall apply, but fundamental due process shall be observed and govern said proceedings all the times. So the line what I read you, it's not anymore in the hearings before the magistrate, in the code enforcement proceedings.
Okay, read that one more time.
I'm going to read you the one which is important to me. Due process shall be observed and govern said proceedings all the times. It's not there anymore.
Did they remove that?
Yes, they crossed it out. This is not in the ordinance anymore.
Okay, now go back and read the other thing you read to me.
Okay, the first line is, neither the federal rules of evidence, do you understand?
Yep.
Nor the Florida evidence code shall apply, but
okay.
Fundamental due process shall be observed and govern said proceedings all the time.
And that is still in there, the due process part?
No, that's what I said. That was removed.
Okay, that's
was
the part
amended.
That's removed.
They
well,
used
bear
to
in
be,
mind.
And now it's removed.
Okay, so what kind of problem are you having with the, what is it, the town ordinance? Or who's applying the ordinance? Is this
well,
the town?
The first court, this is the first lowest court in the nation. It's code enforcement in the city municipal corporation.
Okay, so it's a city municipal court.
Yes.
Okay. And
be signed by mayor, clerk, and attorney.
Yeah, but at this point, you, it's an administrative court and all of that, you know, a special appearance and denial of jurisdiction to them is sufficient to get out of there. Of course, they're not going to listen to that because they really think they got the authority.
Well,
and then,
yeah,
then you could move it. Then you could move it into federal court. But what is the ordinance that you're fighting? What are they trying to do to you?
I am not fighting anything. I'm just telling you that, you know,
oh.
that the Fifth Amendment, which is the right to due process in the federal
right.
Constitution, was thrown out by a bunch of idiots on the lowest level, and they put their signatures under. This is the quasi-judicial. This is the ordinance called quasi-judicial proceedings.
Right. Well, look, this was a problem to them. They probably had it there for a while. People came in, and they probably maybe one or two people used that. And they said, well, we got to figure a way to get rid of this, and they got the county or town or whatever people together to make whoever makes these things up.
John.
In this case, it's
let
city.
Me, let
but
me,
I
let,
I,
me, let yep. me say what I did. So I called the Attorney General of Florida, and I spoke with somebody, presumably the attorney. So the attorney, presumed attorney, told me to go to the Ethics Commission of the state. So I started laughing at her. I said, listen, I'm reporting the crime because somebody on very low level, he abolished the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. So then mm-hmm. she took a little bit seriously and said, you know, why don't you file the complaint with the Attorney General? So I did, but I do not receive any email yet because I filed this electronically. So I see what's going to happen. Mm.
Yeah, look, they're not going to agree with you. They're not going to protect you. They're not going to. I'd be very surprised if they did anything about it at all. But bear in mind, the whole process is—it's all Nisi Prius, okay? It's a Nisi Prius court. What Nisi Prius means is unless first. That
John,
means unless
you. Don't have to
okay,
say it.
So.
Give,
so,
give
so
the,
you
want,
but
give,
I'll say it. I'll say it for other people, though. Anyway, it means you know, unless first. So you come into this court under special appearance just to see the validity of the court, the jurisdiction of the court. You can ask them what their jurisdiction is and by what authority they act, and see how they respond to that. But you already know it's a Nisi Prius court. You deny them, you deny their jurisdiction if you were stuck in a situation like this. You deny the jurisdiction. And if they don't just leave you alone, then you move the whole thing into federal court for cause. And that's the way you got to do it. Go for a special appearance, make the denial, challenge, let them know that they don't have jurisdiction. Do not challenge jurisdiction. You don't want them to decide anything. I've seen a lot of judges make decisions and say, okay, I've decided that we have jurisdiction. Let's move on. So it's just don't even go there. You just deny them jurisdiction because they don't have it. You can ask them what is their jurisdiction. So people who are stuck in that situation, you know, that's what they can do. But, yeah, I'd be very surprised if you get anything positive out of this. I'd be very surprised if they returned that back into the ordinance. And remember, ordinances aren't really law either. Ultimately, you don't have to obey them. You know, they try to put a thing here, you know, you can't build a fence over 4 foot. Well, who wants a 4-foot fence? I want a 6-foot fence. The purpose of the fence, in my position, or my, you know, what I would use it for ultimately is for privacy, you know? You don't get privacy on a 4-foot fence. So, I mean, that's an ordinance in my town, and I built a 6-foot fence anyway, and no one ever really bothered me on it, and they didn't take me to court or anything, but they could have. It's in there, you know? But you can get a permission from them, but, you know, why am I going to go get permission from anybody? You know, probably charging me money to go somewhere to get that permission, you know? So,
well,
but
you,
as you know, ordinances aren't law, so.
Let me add something, because in this same ordinance, which is quasi-judicial proceedings, there is something also very interesting, which says that before you go to this court, let's call it court, right?
Right.
You must write on the paper and leave with the clerk notice to agree to these proceedings, I mean quasi-judicial proceedings, or another letter, or you don't have to, you do not agree. So you have two options, agree in writing and disagree in writing. And I was observing the proceedings over there. Nobody ever knew about it, and that's exactly probably the best way. You say, no, I am not agree to it. But
right.
Neither the magistrate, which is the real estate attorney, knows about it. He wearing this, you know, the priestly uniform. But this is the best defense is you look at it and you put it in writing. And they do not let know those people who they prosecute this, I would call it Miranda warning. And that's the denying due process, because not everybody reads the ordinances. And when they passing the ordinances, they passing them only by title. They never read the ordinances, so they keep public in the dark. I yield. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Well, you know, when you write in writing, that's a good point. You know, you can deny or accept. And you do come in there in writing and you see that is the way it should have been set up, then that's the way you should do it. And again, if you go in by the special appearance, you know, this is, let's see, you can go, a special appearance, you could put this in there, a special appearance as a definition of a footnote. A special appearance is for the purpose of testing the sufficiency of service or the jurisdiction of the court. It's a general appearance is made where the defendant waives defects of service and submits to the jurisdiction. Okay, so what you want to do is you're coming in as special appearance to test the sufficiency of the service of this court or the jurisdiction. So you're testing, really, you're in there to test the jurisdiction. And that's State versus Hella. It's also in, you know, the Black's Law Dictionary. And that's what I would use if someone was in that kind of a situation. Again, you know, I tell everyone if they go into a court, you let them know you're here by special appearance. And you see, once they're pulling you into their game, now you move it to federal court for cause. There's no charge to move it to federal court for cause because you're already in an existing court. You're just moving it over into the higher court before cause. And so that's where you want to be. For anybody stuck in that situation. Okay, thanks a lot. Let's move on to the next person. We got one more caller. What is it, Ann or Deanne from Maryland?
Deanne.
Yeah, from Maryland. What's your first name?
Deanne.
Deanne. All right, go right ahead. You got a question?
Yeah, my brother was just evicted out of Washington, D.C. You know, they beat him up and, you know, he had to be hospitalized and all that. And so what we were trying to figure out is, in trying to do an affidavit is, if these are facts that are included, is that sort of thing included in the write-up of an affidavit?
Well, an affidavit, you know, if you need to know about a form, to get a form of an affidavit, I don't remember where it is on the website, but if you look up on our website tomorrow and you drop down the box, let's see what box this is. Let me hold on a second. Okay, yeah, if you go up there and you drop down on our directory, or just click on the directory, you'll get the national leader, Jan. His phone number is up there. And there's other people you can call if you can't get through to him. But Jan definitely will be able to tell you where there would be a sample for writing a... Hold on 1 minute. I want to see what his owner is. Okay. He'll show you. He can lead you to where you can get a sample habeas corpus. And basically you have a header, okay, and then you have the footer of your affidavit where you really the notary is. And in between is your story. You tell your story the way you would if you were telling your neighbor what happened. You just tell the story.
So would you include the abusive part or just only the date and the time that this occurred?
Oh, I would tell your story from your position. You know, if there was abuse there, you want to use that word, and, you know, you want to be very careful to make sure that everything you're saying is true from your perspective because you're going to swear to it. And look at an affidavit rules the court. If they don't... rebut that affidavit, then that affidavit is truth. And depending on, I guess you're in court and you got 30, they got 30 days to respond, I presume, is the way it's set up there. What kind of court are you in?
We the district court.
What's the name of the
court? In the District of Columbia.
Oh, okay, it's a landlord tenant court.
Yeah.
You got to be careful here with the landlord tenant court. You know. Again, if you're in, like if you go to New York City and you go to landlord-tenant court, boy, they tolerate a lot. I mean, the tenants get, you know, there's so much law down there and different things, but, you know, you can use that law up here, you can use that law here up here in this upstate New York, but, you know, you really got to know it. But generally speaking, when you go into these courts where they're going to decide on the landlord or you, they're always going to, under very rare conditions, are they going to decide for you. It's usually the landlord. I have a person who's going through this process right now that they got to go into a tenant, and he should definitely win because, you know, he held back his money for good cause. But there are a couple of things. When a landlord wants you out, they want you out, and they want their property. They have a right to their property. And a lot of these judges, they just go right away to that point, and that's it. You're out. So it's kind of difficult. But are you in a city or a town, or where are you?
That would be in Washington, D.C. The District of Columbia and Maryland, all the courts, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, have been pretty fraudulent. They really don't do anything according to the law. It's what they want.
Well, none of these courts do anything.
What's going on with NLA and what's the status of the foreclosure case that is ongoing here? And I heard you say it was thrown out, so I just wanted to clarify.
Okay, well, again, you know, if you're going there, this was a non-judicial foreclosure, or you were renting, or
yes.
What?
No, it was a non-judicial foreclosure.
Oh, that's a whole different story. You can move that into federal court, of course. Violation of your right to due process, just to begin with, okay? The taking of your, the seizing of your property, okay? That all of this you can take right into the federal court. All right? And these non-judicial foreclosures, okay, people... You know, they just go through this stuff and they ram it through and they keep moving to the next step and the next step. And meanwhile, they're working in the background, working to change the title. And it may take years and stuff, but they do it. And then they eventually throw you out as a tenant, claiming they take you into tenant
yes.
court. And then they try to throw you out of your house. Well, hey, at that point,
yes.
you definitely want to move this into federal court because they are abusing the whole process here. It's all fraud.
Federal courts are pretty bad. They're I just wanted to know the status of the non-judicial case that NLA put in the New York State. Is that thrown out or is it still ongoing?
Which one? Well, we got the gun case in here in New York, and they haven't made a decision on that yet. Okay. They were supposed to make a decision on June 19th. They haven't did anything, so I guess they don't know what to do. I'm thinking of making a move soon on that because it's ridiculous that they're waiting so long. We also have, now we have a new case going in, which we're going after judiciary, you know, to try to straighten this problem out with due process because people aren't getting it anywhere. And all these administrative courts that think they have certain powers and authorities, and these administrative courts, you know, the town courts, city courts, village courts, they're all administrative courts, unless the Constitution designates it a court of record. But like here in New York State, as I mentioned earlier, only state courts and county courts are courts of record. But there is another exception. The New York City courts, they said in the Constitution, are courts of record also. So that's just a correction on that. But no other city court is a court of record in New York State. But again, you know, you got a case where you can move this into federal court for cause. This is a good one.
What about a non-judicial case?
Well, the point is, it's a non-judicial foreclosure, right?
Yeah, and when I was trying to talk to him about doing an affidavit to join NLA, he wanted to know the status of it, and I'm not sure I even know the status of it.
Okay, so you have paperwork going through National Liberty Alliance concerning your non-judicial foreclosure?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know. Have you spoke with Jim?
Yes. I just wanted to know what status of the case.
Okay, I know there are two non-judicial foreclosures that are sitting up that I need to get to, and it's been over a month, maybe 6 weeks, and I haven't been able to get to it. I just am that busy. But they'll have to be redated and everything, but that shouldn't take much time. I don't know, maybe your case is one of them. Call Jim and tell him to talk with me and tell Jim to give me a call concerning your case so I understand the status. And then you can quit. As long as you call Jim and Jim calls me during the week, then we can talk some more on Monday.
Wonderful. And you're still taking in more affidavits for non-judicials.
I'd like to continue the non-judicial foreclosures, yes, and they're a lot simpler than the habeas corpus is, but I haven't been able to get to them, but I will work to get to them hopefully in the next week or two. As soon as I get done.
And are they still, is it still filed in the federal court in New York?
They will be filed in the federal district court here in New York. And we will be taking those cases as evidence into our other case.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, wonderful. Okay. Well, then I'll get a hold of, and then hopefully we can talk about this some more next week.
We're going to be discussing this in the federal courts concerning these non-judicial foreclosures. Now, they're not taking place in the federal courts, but I got to think, can we do that? I see how we couch it, okay? I'm not really too sure because we can move it into federal court for cause, so. But I got to see how that works and what we're doing with this big case. But bear in mind, what we're doing here in the other case where we've opened a case for the purpose of filing a depository. We also, of course, we're trying to get something going there, but we see they're not going to do anything. So it's really a place to deposit all this stuff to register it with the courts. So that's what that's about.
Okay.
But let's see what happens. Talk with Jim. Jim will talk with me, and then we'll see where your case is at. And then either Jim will get back to you. Well, Jim will definitely get back to you. And if you want to quiz me some more next Monday, you could do so then. Okay?
That'll work. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Let's see. What's Marva from Georgia? Is that correct? Am I saying that correctly, Marva?
Yes, this is Marva. So I wanted to follow on the question that the person was asking about a traffic ticket in the county where they don't have jurisdiction, there's insufficiency of service. I removed it to the federal, and then they attempted to remand back alleging that they didn't have jurisdiction, which I challenged that. Any other suggestions?
What I do when I get a ticket is I file a paper. They don't like that, but that's what I do anyway. I file a paper with the court. I let them know that they don't have jurisdiction, and half the time my papers will make it go away. I just never hear back from them anymore. The other half of the time, it doesn't work very well. And for me, I, from my perspective, I feel, well, okay, if it's not going to work, the only other thing I could do is go in as special appearance and then move into federal court and go through all that. I don't have time for that, so I'll give them their $100 or $50 or whatever it is they want. And then I put it in a special file because one day I may sue them all. I'll see how I feel later on when I got the time. That's the best you could do. I will tell you, I don't know what it is, but when a cop stops me, I've been stopped with all kinds of stuff. I got a heavy foot on the pedal, and I've been stopped many, many times, and most of the times, for some reason, the cops let me go. And I'm not too sure why that is. I really just don't know. And I'm kind of surprised because, I'm breaking their codes, whatever that is. Last time I was stopped by a cop for, speeding, and I pulled into my house, where I was living, and they got me there in my driveway. And he went through the speech and everything, what I was doing, and I said, yeah, I guess I wasn't paying too much attention, blah, 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 whatever. But I'm very polite to them. And he says, well, look, I'm going to give you a ticket for a light out. He had called me in, so I guess he's got to do something, And he gave me a ticket for a license plate light, and all I had to do was go down to the police, station, let them see that it's working. And it was working anyway. I didn't have to replace the bulb. And then they would sign the paper off, and I'd just follow with the court, and that would be the end of it. It wasn't even anything that you'd get a fine for. Unless I guess if you didn't respond, I don't know. But again, being polite to cops, don't give them a hard time. If they give you a ticket, I even thank them. why bother giving them a hard time? They're only going to make things worse. And then they go away. And then you deal with the ticket very simply. Again, you write a paper, let them know that they don't have jurisdiction. You deny their jurisdiction. And you see where that goes. And, like I said, half the time that works for me.
So I never hear anything. Is there a sample of what you normally file in?
Well, that's a good, I'll see if I can, I'll see if I can get a sample up there. I'll take the papers that I write for the courts and I'll put it up there and, I'll make blanks to areas and names and courts, this kind of thing, and then people could download it and kind of use that as their base. You can add or take away on those paper, but it's very short, very short.
Okay.
I'll see if I can get to that. I will not be able to do anything for the next week or two because I'm just too busy writing, but I will try to remember to do that, and if I forget, you can remind me. So give me 2 weeks before I get into that. It's a simple thing for me. It shouldn't take me any 1.5 hours to find the paper and, kind of clean it up, redact it, and get it up there.
Right. So what they're doing in this case, they are pulling...
Get closer to your mic as you're talking.
Okay. I was saying what they're doing in this case...
But you're coming in awfully low, so get closer to your mic.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Oh, that was good right there, yeah.
Okay, so what they're doing in this case is I've docimaled in Georgia. Georgia since 97, and before then was domiciled in Boston. But they are putting it on an old, expired North Carolina driver's license number, and I just don't have a North Carolina driver's license number. I don't even have an ID for North Carolina. And every time they have my Georgia driver's license in hand, they validate that it is valid and active, but they put it on the old number for revenue generation, but they've just become what seems to me rather hostile in the process.
I'm not getting all that you're saying. You're coming in kind of poorly here, but it sounds like, mm-hmm. if I understand correctly, is that they're mixing you up with someone else somehow, the paperwork
They're putting it on an old number that's expired for a different.
Okay, so you had a license in that state and that expired?
No. I mean, I haven't had a license in North Carolina since well before 97. I lived in Boston before Georgia.
Okay.
So,
are they using your old number somehow?
Yes, they're using an old number.
Okay. And and what's the charge?
The charge has been no operator's license. And then one time they combined it with, like, crossing the yellow line, which they changed to unsafe lane change, which that didn't happen either. But it's been consistent.
But charging you with not having an operating license?
Correct.
You do have one from another state.
Yes, and they've had it in their hand each time. They're just putting it on the old expired number.
Yeah, well, you got to make it clearer to them on paper and get it into them and tell them to, you know, to leave you alone at that point, you know. I mean, you got a license and that's that. I don't know anything about the yellow line thing, but what's up with that thing?
That was just bogus. I mean,
that's what they stopped you for?
That's what they alleged they stopped me for, but it didn't happen.
Right. Right, well, it sounds like a simple thing to deal with, but I want to tell you something. You know, mm-hmm. it's good to practice in those courts so you can go in and make a battle, but don't make too big a thing. But it's a good place to practice if you want to practice. But the bottom line is, you know, look, pay the fine, and maybe one day you'll sue them. Or you can move it into federal court for cause. You know, that's something you could do, but you have to know what to do and how to do it. You got to get educated. You know, again, like I said, I got a paper, I file 50% of the time. I never hear back from the people anymore, and that's it. The other 50%, I just plead guilty and move on my way because I just don't have time to play with it, and it costs me whatever the fine is, $100, $150, send them a check. And again, I put all that evidence into a file, and one day I may go after them.
All right, thank you.
That's all I do, okay?
All right,
thank you. I got Jim right here now. Jim, let me let you go. Go right ahead if you want to respond, I guess, to what we were talking about.
Yeah, hi, John. How's everything?
Good, good.
Yeah, so I don't think that woman has ever gotten a hold of me for her initial foreclosure. So I was going to say, you know, all you have to do is drop an email to intake@National Liberty Alliance, and it comes right to me, even if it's just what do I do next about the non-judicial foreclosure, and I can just send them the forms and maybe a short note on to get them started on it. So it's
so
easy.
So Jim, intake@nationallibertyalliance.org. And you'll just tell in there, write an email that you're interested in doing a non-judicial foreclosure, give your phone number, and then Jim will call you and make the connection, correct?
Yeah, or I just return the email and I put my phone number on it. And so,
okay.
You know, some people don't like me. I don't care.
So you give them, you're going to give them the, I guess, the area where they can download the forms and your phone number if they have questions, and they go through the process. So, okay, well, that's pretty easy. I think we have two hanging around for a while that we haven't gotten to, right? Jim? Did I lose you? We lost Jim. Jim, get back into the queue and, oh, no, well, let me unqueue you there. I can unmute you there. Go ahead,
yeah,
can you talk now?
Yeah, you muted me. I heard it.
Oh, sorry. I don't know how I did that.
However it works, and she can also look at the non-judicial foreclosures that are filed in our court docket.
Okay.
Our first case, and she can look at some of them to see exactly what we do, and also examples of affidavits. Same with the
habeas corpus. What's the page on that? Where would they hit on that?
It's under grand jury. It's under on the blue bar. You go down to grand jury and go down to court docket.
Court docket. Okay.
Pretty sure.
We got the grand jury docket. Let's see, landmark non-judicial foreclosures. You click on that, I guess.
Yeah.
And there it is. Let's see. You've got some files there. You can click and download, I guess. And you probably have a copy of an affidavit here, maybe. Is that true?
Well, there's ones that we filed in there.
Yeah, the affidavit form. So anybody can go click. Take the forms down, and they'll get a copy of the of an affidavit form, which is really very simple: a header and a footer, and in between, you tell your story. You tell your story just like you would tell your neighbor. You don't get into any details of law, this, that, or the other thing, man on the land. You just tell your story for your affidavit, and you put in all the necessary concerns or charges against someone else. They abused you in some way or whatever, blah, 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 blah. Put it all together. Okay. All right. I'm out of callers right now. It is 10:25. We said we were only going to go for an hour or so. It's an hour and 25 minutes. So I'm going to end this call for the night. Again, we just opened up with an open forum for the night. We've only got Brent and myself here, and nobody else showed up, so I figured they were off today. I don't know. We usually are here. The only time we've ever closed down on a Monday, and I think it was just this last year, Christmas and New Year's both fell on a Monday. Well, if Christmas falls on a Monday, obviously New Year's falls on a Monday. And for those two, that's the only time I think we didn't have a call. But usually we're open for a call on Memorial Day, if it falls on a Monday, and Labor Day, and so on. But I guess everybody forgot. Well, maybe they were having too much fun. I don't know. One or the other. All right, we're going to shut down now. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And next Monday, we're going to talk. I'm going to talk a little bit about these U.S. codes. I am fascinated on what I am finding in them, and I am also drawn back because I don't believe what I'm reading, and I got to double check. Maybe I got double vision or something. I don't know, but I just can't believe what I'm reading, and I'm going to share that next Monday, and we definitely are going to be using this in our case. So I want to double check the jurisdictions, but I haven't found anything that is going to lead me anywhere. And again, it's they don't have jurisdiction anyway in U.S. 18 and 26 because they've codified everything, and you can't come into a court with statutes. It's not what a court of record does. So, all right. Again, thanks, everybody, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.